Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking with Dr. Gregory Jance. He's speaking with us about a topic that's of special interest throughout Indian country and beyond. It's the subject of bullying. Dr. Jance, we are so glad to have you on today's show.
Good to be with you. It's such an important topic.
Well, you know, a lot of people know your name. You're the author of over 20 books. It's approaching 30. But, Greg, I'm sure there's some people out there in the far reaches of American Indian Living who've never heard the name of Dr. Gregory Jance. Tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all.
You bet. Well, this is our 28th year. I'm a founder of a treatment center that deals with depression and eating disorders, anxiety from a whole person point of view. So we're near Seattle and work with folks from all over the country and really believe there's always a missing piece to the puzzle. We believe in hope.
Tremendous, tremendous. So you're dispensing hope, and this is a very important thing to dispense when we're speaking about bullying. As far as your professional background, tell us a little about that.
Well, I have a doctorate in counseling and health psychology. Really believe we've got to integrate, again, that whole person into this. And, I've been counseling eating disorders and depression for a long time, but I'm blessed to have a staff of about 40 now. We've got a great team.
That is incredible. 40 people in the Seattle area that's focused on really helping people with significant mental health issues.
They are team members here at A Place of Hope, yes.
So the name of your clinic is A Place of Hope?
A Place of Hope. It's really interesting. We are the center. Center for Counseling and Health Resources. But David, one of the things that happened years ago, we started to do some patient and client surveys, and they ended up writing, "This is a place of hope. This is a place of hope." So when the internet came, that was our website, and we just kind of got known as a place of hope.
Tremendous, tremendous. Well, that's so great, Greg, because today we're speaking about a subject that, I mean, it crosses all cultural lines, and the topics of discrimination, bullying, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in school, we need to explore this. We've talked about it on the show before, but it's been a number of years, and it's such a hot topic. I'm so glad that we've got someone who can really bring us up to speed and give us some practical information on the topic.
Well, you got it. I'm happy to talk about it. It is very important.
Greg, so sitting in your seat, you're there at A Place of Hope. You see people coming through with mental health issues all the time. How many of the patients that seek you out for mental health issues, how many of them have some history of bullying? Is there a way to come up with an estimate of that percentage?
Well, you know, David, one of the things that we see is so much people who are presenting with depression issues and just not functioning well, not feeling good about themselves. And when we began to look underneath that, at times addiction issues, a history of maybe what we'll call emotional abuse, where maybe there was some early childhood trauma, but some issues that happened. We're very injurious emotionally,
mm-hmm.
Maybe no outwardly scars, but have internal scars.
Mm. So we carry these scars throughout our life, and they influence us as we go about our living, and then other things happen, and those things tend to resurrect, don't they?
Well, you know, and sometimes we don't even quite get the connection and go, okay, well, how is this possibly connected to, what I'm doing now and that past trauma? And maybe sometimes we try to set it aside or pretend it was no big deal or we minimize it. But, it could be bully behavior growing up. Maybe you feel like you were really victimized. And it really did. It affected your sense of self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us some about what bullying is. I mean, I think people think they know what it is, but it's much more than what happens on the schoolyard, isn't it?
You know, it is. And it comes in many different forms. And, of course, now with the advent of technology, we can, through social media.
Hmm.
We can bully others through text messages, for example. So that's the cyberbullying, where there is really, it's emotionally abusive. It's usually a lot of threat. It's still fear. A bully who's after somebody or a group who are doing bully behaviors, it's still fear and intimidation.
Hmm. So the common denominator, wherever bullying occurs, is they're trying to cause the person they're bullying to be afraid, to be scared. And what are they hoping to get out of that, the bully?
Well, ultimately, it's about power and control. Hmm. If I can scare you and intimidate you, you know, then I feel more powerful. Because remember, the bully doesn't really have a good sense of their own self identity and their sense of self. They're really getting that feeling powerful through misusing others.
Hmm. So really, when it comes to this whole problem with bullying behavior, some of those bullies, is it possible, are engaging in this behavior and they're not even aware of what they're doing?
You know, yes, and sometimes they've learned it, and so they've developed a pattern of, well, it's a pattern of abusive behavior that they've normalized.
Okay, so they're basically saying, this is okay, what I'm doing is what I've got to do to get by?
You know, they justify it, and a lot of times because I, you know, it was probably done to me, and I've learned to almost treat it as though it's normal, as odd as that may sound.
So help us from the psychological standpoint. You have your doctorate. Why do people, when we deal with them as adults, if they've been bullied as a child or they were a bully as a child, am I going to likely see something in some of my adult relationships? Is something going to surface as a result of that? I mean, you mentioned some of the trauma that can come along with being bullied later in life, but how about the person who's the perpetrator as a kid?
You know, many times, you know, the perpetrator as a kid will continue a pattern of probably destructive relationships. It's probably going to be hard for us to feel close to others, to have what I'll call true intimate relationships, because we really haven't learned. We've learned about power and control, but really haven't learned about what's a healthy relationship.
So those individuals, you see them often in your office there at your center at A Place of Hope. They come in with mental health issues just like the people who've been bullied in earlier life chapters or maybe bullied at the present time. What kind of mental health issues do you find in either of these populations?
Well, there's one thing that we see constantly, and I've mentioned it before, but that of depression. And by that, I mean people that have had long-standing depression, and they have a lot of anxiety in their life, a lot of worry. But we also see it, and those, both the bully and the victim both share this. But we also see increase in just addiction, any form of addiction, alcohol, drugs, gambling. So there's an increase in addictive behavior for both the victim and the bully.
Wow. So we've got addictions, we've got depression on the list. I mean, addictions, I mean, for most people it seems pretty straightforward, but a lot of people have addictions and actually are oblivious to the fact that they're an addict. Isn't that the case?
Yes. And it's been such a coping mechanism that they've had that really what's happened is they don't realize the destructive nature of it, and they've come, you know, addiction, we come to deny it and minimize it and almost just treat it as though it's normal again.
What about the subject of depression? As a primary care physician, I see people in my office. I mean, they come with fatigue. They come with sleep disturbance. They don't have depression on their radar screen. They may say, well, you know, I'm generally an upbeat person. It seems like there are a lot of people out there who are depressed and don't realize they have clinical depression.
They don't realize it. They haven't really identified that's what it is. And then also, I think, David, there's a fear of getting help, and sometimes I feel shameful. You know, if this way. I shouldn't be having this trouble. And it can be difficult just to ask for help.
Hmm. Greg, you folks are so concerned about the depression issue that you've actually kind of taken it one step further. And you're offering something online where a person can tap into that resource and actually assess whether they're dealing with depression or not. Is that correct?
You know, we are. And part of our community services, we've created, and I wrote a book called Moving Beyond Depression, but we created an online, it's a free, it's a confidential, it doesn't even ask for your email, you can just take it. It's an online survey. Just to get up if you're concerned about yourself or somebody you love, but it's going to list a lot of symptoms and some things that maybe you didn't identify at first as being related to depression. It's just a good place to start to get some information.
And so how does someone access that free survey?
You go to aplaceofhope.com.
Okay, so just go to your website there for your center.
And you're going to look at a little heading that says, are you, and have a question mark, and just pick the depression survey there.
Oh, okay. So there's a number of surveys that you have on that site?
There is. There's one on relationship and codependency, and we put a fair number on there. We just recently worked a bit with the depression one, so it's a very good place to start.
Great. Well, let's bring this all back to the bullying scenario. Let's say someone is seeing you for counseling, Dr. Jance, and they're working through some issues related to depression. And in the course of your dialogues, you come to the conclusion that this person is being bullied in the workplace. Can you walk us through what that looks like? What would sensitize you to that issue?
If they're being bullied in the workplace?
Mm-hmm.
You know, interestingly, in the workplace, there can be a lot of course competition in the workplace. There can be rumors and gossip. So a person that may be initiating a rumor or a gossip or trying to, you know, hurt you behind your back to discredit you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a few of the things to be aware of. So in the work environment, many times, though not always, kind of takes the form of being passive aggressive.
Hmm.
Something behind your back many times.
Okay, so it's not necessarily someone in your face and telling you what a lousy worker you are or things like that.
No, right.
So you're working on a project together and the other person isn't cooperating? I mean, can that be a manifestation of bullying?
Yes, or they take all the credit.
I see.
So, yeah, but just think in terms, they're working behind your back many times to make you look bad to others.
Now, I guess the one concern I have with our dialogue is, you know, we start talking about this. Is there a danger we'll get people overly paranoid about people working behind their back?
What we want to really look at is it's a pattern of behavior. You know, we all make mistakes and we may say or do something that is hurtful or inappropriate. So we're really not talking about that, but we're talking about a pattern of behavior that really ends up being abusive and hurtful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what should someone be looking for? What should they be, you know, reasonably looking for? And then what should they do about it? I mean, those are two of the questions that, of course, I think are on people's minds.
Well, what they should look for, again, ask yourself, how do I feel when I'm around this person? How do I feel? In other words, do I feel younger? Do I feel afraid? And that's a good little beginning self-check to do.
Okay.
The other, is there conflict between the two of us? Look for conflict. Other times, have you noticed that suddenly people start treating you differently in the workplace, and you feel that there's something going on? You know, not to create paranoia, but trust your intuition there a bit.
Well, I'll tell you, Dr. Jance, this is some great information. We're talking with Dr. Gregory Jance. He is speaking to us about bullying and other mental health issues, really important stuff, things that can make a difference in your life, in your tribe, in your community. He's got a lot more material, a lot of wealth of information, practical things that you can use. I'm Dr. David DeRose, encouraging you to stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it's a government full of people and full of people. And full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking with Dr. Gregory Jantz. Dr. Jantz heads up a place of hope in the Seattle area. Dr. Jantz has been speaking with us about bullying and related mental health issues. Greg, it's really great to have you with us on the program.
Oh, good. I just feel that this applies to so many who can relate to this, and we know the numbers are actually increasing.
Well, Greg, let's go to the classic scenario where people think in terms of bullying, and that is in the schoolyard. Many of our listeners have young children. If they don't have children, they've got grandchildren, other people on the reservation, in their extended community that have children, and they're concerned about this topic of bullying. What kind of things do we need to know about bullying at school?
Well, that it takes different forms, and again, we're looking for a pattern. So if you have a kid that comes home and describes something that happened that was, you know, hurtful at school, it doesn't mean they were bullied. So we want to just look again and be aware of patterns. Now, elementary school, the primary grade, one of the things that we are seeing is young kids who maybe they're being bullied by a group of other kids, two or three others, and it's been going on to the school year. You may have a child, boy or girl, that has a lot of physical complaints, maybe headache, stomach ache, maybe they're not sleeping well, perhaps they don't want to go to school. So these are some of the things that we would probably observe.
Okay, so a parent or a grandparent, if they've got a child who's coming up with all kinds of physical problems, and maybe ostensibly you don't see much going on. They don't have a fever. I mean, they haven't broken out in a rash. This would be a potential indication of something going on in the social realm, perhaps bullying.
You know, it sure could. And that's why, usually the younger kids are going to have more physical symptoms. And so we want to be aware of that. The other that we may see is older kids who... You see academic changes suddenly, maybe they're in junior high, you see a change in peer group, maybe some isolation where they just seem like they're cut off. And a kid in junior high who's bullied, they may be mumbling things like, "You'd be better off if I wasn't around, nobody likes me."
Hmm.
They're going to, they're going to be processing this. You're going to see an increase in aggression or anger even if a kid's being bullied. It's a very difficult, the self-esteem is somewhat fragile, so they're doing their best they can, but be aware of patterns.
Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm a parent or a grandparent or just a family member, aunt, uncle, whatever, and I'm observing symptoms like this in a child that I'm concerned about or that I'm close to. What do I do at that point?
Well, obviously we don't want to ignore it, and we want to actually have a chance to talk to them and to explore with them and make it safe for them. Because so often, remember, they're afraid. They're afraid to say anything, that something bad's going to happen. They're already being controlled by some intimidation. And so having a safe place, if it's a boy, a young man, I'm going to probably take him out and toss a ball with him or do something physical. And just talk about, observations you're seeing. They need to know. Remember, there are two concerns that they have. It's their safety and security.
Hmm.
And we've got to reinforce that.
So we're trying, as a concerned adult, to get the child to open up and share with us about the concerns they have. Is that kind of the common theme there?
Well, absolutely. And they are probably not going to talk a lot to us at first. We may be frustrated. We may find ourselves really at a place of just exasperation. And we may get a little angry that they're not talking to us at first.
Mm-hmm.
Give it some time. Sometimes, particularly with young men, it's going to be a process of gathering information.
Hmm. So once they do, let's say they do open up, they say, there's this one kid who's really giving me a hard time. Is that usually the scenario with bullying? Is it usually one child that's picking on that individual, or is it more often today a group that may be involved?
Well, it can start off sometimes with one, and then that one who's doing the bully behavior may kind of gather some allies. You know, so you kind of got a group of others, maybe two or three others, to kind of join in.
Hmm.
There's usually a captain. The captain meaning kind of the one that's taking the lead, and there'd be some following them joining in. But it usually starts with one individual.
Okay. And I'm assuming that if one child is being bullied, the odds are there are other children in that school environment who are experiencing the same fate. Is that a safe conclusion?
Yes, that's a safe conclusion.
So once we identify the problem, the child opens up, we learn that there's this bullying situation. I'm sure there's probably some ways to go about addressing it that are more constructive than others, right?
Yes, and I know that, every child is different. Personalities are different. If it's a girl, we need to look at are there other boys that are, being involved in this? Is it a group of boys? I just had a situation, seven boys had been bullying one girl just via through text messages.
Hmm.
And she was terrified to do anything because of all the threats. So these seven boys joined in, all sending, really abusive and inappropriately sexual messages. And this paralyzed this young girl. It wasn't until a father, for example, discovered what was on her phone in the text messages. That's how paralyzed and fear she was.
Wow.
So it goes back to know what your kids are doing in social media. My personal position is, as a parent, we have the password to our kids' devices, if they have devices. We're involved in the technology with them. So it can be very preventative to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 10-year-old boy and a 13-year-old boy. They're not allowed, they're not allowed to text girls, for example. That's just in one of our households. Nothing good would come from that. And so you have to decide as a family, what's your family rules as it relates to technology?
And I'm assuming there's going to be some time in their lives where that may change, right? But they're 10 and 13.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is, I mean, this is very relevant because we're in a day and age where often, like you said, we don't necessarily see where the bullying is being perpetrated. If it's happening in cyberspace, we could be totally oblivious to it, and so can the teachers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So come back to this case with this this girl who was just paralyzed. What was the motivation of the guys? Were they just doing it for fun? Were they trying to get back at her? Was it a power issue? How do you process that?
You know, that's a really good, what was the real motivation?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that happened was one boy began by kind of liking this girl. The text messages started out, friendly. When this girl didn't show the same level of interest, then he decides what he's going to do is more harmful, and then he engages others into the process.
Hmm. Wow. So once this was discovered, how did you help work through this?
Well, what the father did before I became involved is the father sent out a group text to these seven young men from the daughter's phone and introduced himself, which was probably a good move. From there, he had he initiated a group meeting with these boys and let them know that if they didn't meet with them, that all the parents would be meeting. So he actually and then the school became involved, and it took about 3 days, and there were written apology letters from each of these boys, there still were some natural consequences. They had consequences that related to school and what the school imposed upon them. But the girl came to us. She was needing some help in just processing with just how emotionally abusive this was.
Mm. And so was she clinically depressed when you saw her? What was she dealing with?
She was pretty distraught.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty distraught, and just feeling, not performing well in school, not feeling good about herself, certainly wondering who else knew. So, you know, you got seven boys who are pounding you with inappropriate text messaging, inappropriate photos. You can see how traumatizing this can be over time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This had been going over through the course of about 6 months.
6 months.
So this was not just a one-time thing. This has been going on for quite some time.
Wow. Well, the big message that's emerging to me, Dr. Jantz, is we need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful when it comes to the issue of childhood bullying. And action does need to be taken, and it often requires getting a professional like yourself involved.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, we've got to step away for another couple of minutes here. I'm Dr. David DeRose. I'm speaking with Dr. Gregory Jantz. We're speaking about some issues that are incredibly important. We've been speaking about bullying as it relates to children. We're going to speak more about some of the adult ramifications, some of the challenges you may be facing in your own workplace, in your own tribal community, or outside the reservation. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up. Don't go away. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today. From World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to the second half of today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose, your host, with Dr. Gregory Jantz. Dr. Jantz heads up a place of hope in the Seattle area. In fact, Dr. Jantz, you shared with us earlier in the show that you don't just help people on site, but you've got a lot of helpful resources that anybody listening to American Indian Living can take advantage of. Tell us again how people can tap into some of those resources.
Sure. One of the things you do is, of course, go to aplaceofhope.com and do take some good surveys. But take the depression survey. That's one thing. If there's been a victim of bully behavior, there's going to probably be some depression and anxiety symptoms. So I want you to be able to begin to address those, look and see what those are.
Okay, so aplaceofhope.com. Have I got that right?
You got it.
And, Greg, we promised that we would get back to the subject of some of the adult challenges with this topic. And I guess the one that is very high on my list, just because, I think it's so relevant, is the whole question about the victims or the perpetrators of bullying. When they actually get to adulthood, let's say this happened in childhood. So you mentioned this case history of the girl with the seven guys who were bullying her. What kind of things are likely to happen in adulthood? Is it something that most people hide? Do they repress this? Or is it something that we could expect to see some symptoms of just in our day-to-day dealings with other adults?
You know, I think we can try to hide these things, David, and I think we may be, as adults, experiencing a lot of symptoms that we haven't really, you know, followed the dotted line back to where all the root causes of those are. And one of the things that I want you to look at as an adult, you can be having, on maybe for years, just a struggle with anxiousness, fearfulness, maybe trouble feeling like I'm connecting well with people. I may have some social anxiety that's a little too high. I may find myself at a place where I'm kind of relying on, maybe it's a food addiction, or I'm using food to comfort me, or overusing prescription medication, but I'm trying to do something that takes the edge of that anxiety off, that really connects way back.
So basically, a person is looking for some way to kind of deal with these experiences they've had in the past. It's coming out in addictive behaviors. It may come out in depressed behaviors. Is this one of the reasons why someone, if they find out they've got depression, should be working with someone like yourself to see if there are some contributory issues in the past?
You know, we really do, and I'm so glad you mentioned that. We want to get to the root. We want to get to the pause of this. It's really, you know, getting to the root cause, and we want to, you know, deal with that root cause. So this pattern and this, ongoing struggle that we're having, that we really can understand why it's there, address those issues, and bring some new freedom.
Well, that's tremendous. And so when you talk about having a place of hope, part of what gives people hope is identifying some of those issues that have never really probably been adequately addressed. Is that a fair saying?
Probably not. Yeah.
So let's say, hypothetically, because I don't, to my knowledge, think that I was a victim of any great deal of bullying when I was a child. But let's say I had been, and I'm dealing with some mental health issues, come and see you, and it comes out that there were some kids who were really being rough with me and being very abusive during my early years. At that point, what can we do? I mean, it's not like you can go back and confront the kids, or I mean, do you take that step, or are there things that you have to work through with a person as far as just how they look at themselves and how they look at the world?
You know, one of the things that you may do is you're going to maybe create a new awareness, mm-hmm. a new understanding that, yeah, what happened to me was over 3 years in grade school, and yes, I see what happened. I see what it did to me. And I see now, so I'm increasing awareness. But I also see that I've been living a real lie about myself.
Hmm.
And I was allowing fear to take a stronghold in my life. And so it gives us a chance to even, well, ultimately there's a place of even forgiveness and forgiveness of ourselves. I usually don't suggest to go back to find the grade school bully or high school bully. I don't think that's usually that helpful.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. But to understand what happened to us could be quite insightful and quite helpful.
Well, one of the big issues, Dr. Jansen, Indian country, of course, interfaces with the whole subject of discrimination and kind of the racial challenges that many First Nation peoples have experienced in academic settings. How do those kind of bullying scars, if you will, differ from other forms of bullying, or is it really, to some extent, somewhat irrelevant? If you've been bullied, you're going to have common manifestations.
Well, I think it's going to be some common experience that you're going to end up having. So, irregardless of where the inappropriate or emotionally abusive behavior took place, I think you're going to find that whether it's school, whether it's in the workplace, we're all going to kind of end up with the same symptoms, even the bully,
mm-hmm.
which is what this new research showed us.
Well, tell us about that. So the bully actually ends up having the same symptoms as the one that they bullied?
Isn't that interesting?
That's amazing.
Yeah. They share a couple of things that are shared in common that a recent study showed was that if you were a victim or you were the one doing the bully behavior, as time progressed, both suffered significantly from depression.
Mm-hmm.
Both had, even in many cases, some anxiety disorder. And by that could be a true panic attack. There are many times that we found that people who both were victims and the bully had similar patterns of addictions in their life and a similar pattern of probably unhealthy relationships as adults.
I think what's so compelling about what we're talking about here is in many circles, many communities, Native Americans have been blamed for substance abuse-related issues. And as I'm listening between the lines, Dr. Jantz, what I hear you saying is some of those predispositions, we're not saying there's no genetics involved, but some of those predispositions may have been fueled by the mistreatment of First Nation peoples. Is that possible, or am I reading too much into our dialogue?
No, I think that really is possible, yeah. Absolutely.
So going from here, what do we do? As let's talk about, really, we're starting to get into some issues that bridge on the whole issue of cultural trauma and some of these multi-generational issues, but let's keep it focused on kind of the individual bullying experience, or the bullying history, if you will, of an individual one way or the other. I know we've talked about this some, but put it in the Native American context. Someone's listening and they say, you know what? When I was young, I was shipped off to a school. I was the only Native American student there. The other kids made fun of me. They picked on me. What kind of messages do you want to give that person today? What can help them be more successful in the future?
Well, one of the things that can help them be more successful in the future is understand that this did not define who you are.
Mm.
Yes, it was painful. Yes, obviously hurtful, and did have a dramatic impact on you. But I want you to know that it didn't define who you are. It may have hidden some of your gifts and talents, but you didn't feel free to really express who you are, and you didn't know really what some of your gifts and talents are. And so, that in mind, we need to remember that that abuse and that bully behavior was inappropriate, but it did not define who you are.
So, Dr. Jantz, what I hear you saying is you need, all of us need, especially if we've had difficulties in our past, to realize, use this term, gifts and talents, that we have these capacities that perhaps we would say the Creator has given us, that we need to develop independent of what has happened to us in the past, that we can move on and develop these skills and abilities. Even though we've been put down, we have unique qualities that we can give back to others and have fulfillment ourselves. So is that a big part of what a psychologist would work through with an individual?
Well, yes, it is. And you know, one of the things that's so important to understand is, you know, working on this, fear can keep you from working on it.
Mm.
But working on this can also be a huge step to freedom. It's a huge step to coming to a place of, well, freedom and rebuilding relationships, to feel differently about yourself. People who have been victimized to bully behavior really have developed a, I'd say it's a faulty sense of self.
Hmm. A faulty sense of self. What do you mean by that?
They don't see themselves accurately, and they've been emotionally bruised and hurt, and they really don't see themselves as, well, who the Creator made them to be.
Hmm. So, as a person starts to grasp some of their capacities, some of those gifts, some of those talents, you mentioned somewhere in the process there's this role for forgiveness. Just how big is that in the healing process?
Well, I think there's a role of forgiveness that even includes self-forgiveness.
Hmm.
That maybe I wasn't pleased with how I handled it. Maybe I was not pleased with what what I did. Maybe I was victimized, and then I turned and I was injured to myself. So all these things are important as it comes to forgiveness. Sometimes, too, you've got to go back and look, you know what, that person who did the bully behavior, they probably learned this. They were probably victimized in some way themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to put it all in the proper perspective.
Okay. What does a person do in that forgiveness process? Is it something that is very simple? A person just has to acknowledge that they were bullied and that they're not going to hold that against someone? Or do you usually find it's a deeper issue that it helps to have someone work through that process, whether it's a spiritual leader, whether it's a counselor?
I think we need to have somebody walk alongside it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And why do you see that connection?
Well, we need a safety. We need somebody when we're afraid to, in essence, take us by the emotional hand and let us know we can do this. We've maybe carried this for so long that we're just afraid. We're paralyzed.
Wow. Greg, we have got to step away one more time. I'm talking with Dr. Greg Janz. You're listening to very important material, things that can make a difference in your life and the lives of those you love. We've got more to come. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We'll be back for our final segment of American Indian Living shortly. Don't go away. A lot more coming up with Dr. DeRose and Dr. Janz.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Wimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Wimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Wimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Wimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with Dr. Gregory Janz. Dr. Janz has been helping us appreciate some of the challenges and the subject of bullying. Whether you were bullied as a child, whether you were a bully, whether you're experiencing things in the workplace or in your community, bullying is something that's more relevant today than ever before. And I think you've picked up on that if you've been listening from the beginning. Dr. Janz, one of the things that I think really heightened my awareness on this entire show is just the social media connections with bullying. We're hearing more about it, but you're really seeing a lot of this, aren't you?
Oh, particularly I'm seeing it, yeah. A person can go out on social media, start a rumor, say anything they want, and then others can join in, and just the ripple effect of that. The other thing, of course, about online activity is it, once it's out there, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had kids who young people who have had, I think a recent situation, a girl had unfortunately texted a picture of herself, an inappropriate picture, to a so-called boyfriend who just took that picture and shared it with everybody else in the school.
Wow. Wow.
Those kinds of things. So this is why we need to talk to our kids. We need to be dealing with what's happening online. You know, another rule we have is we don't allow our kids to text on the way to school.
Hmm.
And say, you know, talk to the kids at school that you're, that you're texting to.
Okay, well, fair enough. So basically you're saying, hey, be connected in real time and texting, although it's, quote, real time, face-to-face is going to get you a lot more mileage and going to be a lot safer, right?
You know it.
Well, Greg, I know that you've written a host of books. We've been speaking about a number of topics as they relate to bullying. If some of the listeners say, I just wish I lived in the Seattle area that I could see Dr. Janz and his team, but hey, I'm in Tennessee or I live in Alaska. Let's face it, most of our listening audience is not within driving distance of your location, so we're not trying to necessarily drive business to the place of hope, but you've got some books, you've got some website resources. Tell us, first of all, about the books, because we haven't mentioned that at all yet.
Well, you know, I have a book that probably really is appropriate in moving beyond depression.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's the next level of information after you do the survey. And if you've also been a victim of bully behavior, whether presently or the past, probably I would say that the mandatory reading would be Healing the Scars of Emotional Abuse.
Healing the Scars of Emotional Abuse. And what's the best way to get a copy of one of these books?
Well, you know, it's available everywhere, and of course, the Amazon, and we're on our website. But it should be easy to find.
Okay, so give us that website again, because that's where you've got the free depression test and a number of other free resources.
Yeah, aplaceofhope.com.
Okay, aplaceofhope.com. And Healing the Scars of Emotional Abuse, is that one of the titles again?
Yeah, that is really the title I want you to get. If you feel that this information today pertains to you, please get a copy of Healing the Scars of Emotional Abuse.
And what was the other book you mentioned about depression?
Moving Beyond Depression.
Okay. Well, let's come back to these topics, because there are some people that say, you know, this is all great. I don't think it's really a big issue for me. I've had some issues in my past, but I don't think I need to pick up a book on it. Tell us a little bit about some of the key messages in that book, Healing the Scars of Emotional Abuse.
Well, again, to look at the different patterns, the different types of emotional abuse, what forms it takes, whether I'm in a present relationship, what constitutes emotional abuse, to be treated unfairly and unjustly by the same person, usually it's a group of people over a period of time. But to begin to identify this, to begin to identify perhaps what effect that it's had in your life, to understand what it's done in relationships. And then, importantly, how am I going to move beyond this? What does healing look like?
So is there a danger, though, when we speak about these topics, Dr. Jantz, that people will label any undesirable interaction with someone as emotional abuse? I know some of us in the health profession sometimes get worried when patients give these nebulous histories of emotional abuse. Is that something real, or do we need to be careful that we don't minimize someone's concerns?
Well, and I want to be very careful how we use the word abuse as well. The abuse that can happen to us, or behaviors, you know, sometimes it's unintentional. So be careful about mislabeling people as abusive.
So one of the messages, yes, emotional abuse, huge problem, real problem, but we could potentially mislabel people, and then that can have deleterious consequences as far as how we deal with life, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So if I'm worried about a situation being emotionally abusive, you've already given us some of those red flags, but walk us through those one more time so that we can get a reality check here.
Situation could be emotionally abusive as simply a person that's doing name calling. They may humiliate you or shame you by name calling comparisons. Why can't you be more like your sister? Why? And they may do a lot of put downs. There's also the person that may have a threat of physical violence. They may give you that certain look that says, and it's a terrifying look, that says, you know, the next thing I can do is hurt you physically. So, remember, it comes in so many different types and forms. And sometimes I've found in families we've kind of adapted and go, well, that's just the way he is or she is. And as though it's normal behavior, we minimize it, usually out of fear.
So there is no such thing as normal abusive behavior. If someone's acting like that, it's going to hurt someone.
That's right. Yeah. So we need to be careful about making excuses.
Greg, let me ask this question. There's people who tune in to this show from all walks of Native American life, people on reservations, people in urban areas. There are many people that are non-Native who are listening to the show. But we've talked a little bit about some of the unique cultural challenges that minority races have experienced, Native Americans among them. Do you see, from your vantage point, we're trying to develop more of a culture in our society of civility, of respect for people of different backgrounds. You've been doing this kind of work for over 25 years. Is that, are we making progress, or where do you assess that whole situation?
Well, I think we probably are increasing an awareness, but bully behavior is actually up, which is disturbing. So, you know, it's difficult to understand why it keeps going up. So increasing the awareness hasn't necessarily decreased the behavior. So we're seeing more aggression in kids. We're seeing more situations where kids are being learning early on to be aggressive and hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Do this for me then. Talk to the bully. We've been speaking a lot about the one who has experienced bullying. Talk to someone who's in that mode or has that background.
Sure. One of the things that that's important to understand is if you are feeling a need to control another human being, you'll probably notice that it never quite works. You just really don't feel that great about yourself, but it feels powerful. And I want you to know that there's other ways to feel powerful. There's other ways to really have what we'll call satisfying relationships. And, you know, where this is going to take you, you won't be pleased with in the long run, as hard as that is to imagine. But to stop now, to get some help, get some insight, you can change a pattern of behavior.
Well, Dr. Jantz, believe it or not, our time has just about slipped away from us. Do us a favor. Give us one more time your website where people can get more information.
Sure. It is aplaceofhope.com. aplaceofhope.com.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. Gregory Jantz with A Place of Hope. He's given us some very powerful messages about bullying. If you've been putting undue pressure on others, bullying them, if you're the person who's been experiencing bullying, there is hope for you. That encouraging message from all of us at American Indian Living. And with that, I wish you the very best of health. I'm Dr. DeRose.
This is Life Talk Radio.